You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, make a difference for those in need right here in Cleveland. Bring your non-perishable canned food items to this Sunday's game against the Baltimore Ravens for the Cleveland Browns Food Drive. Volunteers will be at the First Energy Stadium gates collecting canned items and donations. Great way to help out as we get ready for the holiday season right here in Cleveland with the Cleveland Browns Food Drive. Again, that's this Sunday at First Energy Stadium. People will be collecting your non-perishable canned items. So please bring those out when you turn out to the game and support the Browns in hopefully defeating this Baltimore Ravens team. And earlier today, Vic, we talked about Ray Horton and the turning point at halftime against Kansas City and what transpired there. So let's hear from the man himself on the locker room and what happened at halftime in Kansas City.
I think, again, it comes back to hopefully that changes the fulcrum point of where we're at, meaning, you know, at some point you got to step up and you play or you don't. And hopefully that does, where it's a very good offense that undefeated, and I hope that was a turning point. I didn't do anything, they did.
You know, and that's a good way to put it. I didn't do anything, they did, but they certainly needed to hear from the coordinator. They heard from the head coach. From everything I've gathered, it was a pretty volatile scene in that locker room. It was pretty loud, and the words were definitely R-rated, above
like
PG. Yeah, and it was the surly, salty kind of thing that I think you want to know that your team and your defense, or any side of the ball, but having that conversation. And usually those conversations will happen on defense. And let's face it, there was no reason why, yeah, the Chiefs shred a lot of people using that screen game and taking advantage of your zone coverage and throwing things underneath you to running backs. But it shouldn't have happened to the degree that it did in that game.
But you know what? Maybe it's a good thing that it did happen, and maybe it's a good thing that it came to this moment, and they had this come-to-Jesus meeting, as Ray Horton said, and the players were fired up, and they took onus, and I like that. And he was saying, listen, you heard him say a little bit in that quote that it wasn't me, it was the players, and he talked about the biggest adjustment in Kansas City, that it was made by the players.
I think the biggest adjustment was a mental adjustment with the players. I think they were embarrassed by what had happened, because I know they were very excited about the Kansas City defense, not versus the Cleveland defense, but there was a psychological challenge there. And I think they were embarrassed.
Yeah, embarrassment is a great motivator, or fear of embarrassment, whatever category you want to put it in. And I think it tapped into their pride. And, you know, we're going to hear from T.J. Ward a little bit later too. But overall, this is a proud group. It should be. They have reason to believe they're good beyond what the numbers say. They have reason to like the talent that they have. They don't have it all figured out as far as people. Certain spots are still, I would say, are still left to be addressed in the future, just as we talk about the offensive side. But there should be fewer ones on defense now than there were in the offseason. And I think just the embarrassment, the pride factor carried it a long way. And there's going to be a frustration, Nathan. I think this is a pretty solid theory that the defense played well enough to beat the Ravens. We know that. The defense, and we can go to those sideline shots of that missed completion between Brandon Whedon and Chris Obanaya,
yep,
right in front of that sideline, and the reactions of frustration and anger and just flat out misery. You could see everybody kind of felt that way. I don't know that anyone felt that way more than the defensive side. And from people who were, I wasn't by the sideline at that point. I came in the late stages of the game, but I wasn't there then. Those who were there, they said it was the reaction of the defensive players that was most notable, because even though nobody necessarily said anything to the offensive guys, body language, expressions on faces, comments that were made, especially at that drop, that moment, that was sort of like a momentous type of thing where you said defensively, look, we've done a hell of a job today, and you guys can't make that play.
Right, and we talked about how that clearly was weighing on the defense. We talked about how you could see it in the body language in the game against Green Bay, that this was a team that did not believe in the quarterback. And somebody phrased the question to Ray Horton, kind of put it another way, as you saw the defense pick up its play after Jason Campbell and the offense did against Kansas City. Can the quarterback give a lift to a defense?
I think anytime you can move the ball, like we've been doing on offense, I think it helps your defense because it gives them a rest, it gives them off the field points, and that all goes hand in hand with what we always talk about here is the team concept, and it really is with the special teams, you know, helping us in the Buffalo game, the offense, it really does tie in, and then our part of that is giving the offense a short field.
Yeah, and I want to emphasize that there is a team mentality to this all, even if you're talking about a frustrated defense, and even if you're talking about human emotion getting the better of people, sometimes it does. There is still the idea that this is a team, and you've got to continue to play. We've said it multiple times on this show. There's no excuse for not playing well, playing hard, taking the game over. If your quarterback isn't going to get it done for you, if your offense isn't going to get it done for you, get it done on defense. I mean, find a way.
And this is a team that's built to get it done on defense and have the offense do enough to be competitive. And when you go back and you look at the games that they won the game where they got big offensive contributions, but also special teams contributions against the Minnesota Vikings. They had, you remember, they went for it on the fake punt. They got the touchdown on the fake field goal. They pulled out all the stops in that one. Then you get a big defensive contribution, a special teams contribution as well against the Buffalo Bills. The big punt returns from Travis Benjamin, the pick six TJ Ward to ice the game, and some competent offensive play. The other game they won, that was against the Cincinnati Bengals. In that game, the Browns were 9 of 18 on third down. They controlled the clock. They got the Bengals off the field. They were just 4 of 14 on third down in that game. You win 17-6, and you win time of possession. It's a simple formula for what this team needs to do to be victorious, and I think Ray Horton brought up how it goes hand-in-hand when the offense is moving the ball, when they are staying on the field. Even if it doesn't lead directly to points, just staying on the field helps the defense out, and we saw that production come in the second half on both sides of the ball for the Cleveland Browns. And again, it goes back to the main point and the theme of the day, Vic. 60 minutes. Do it for 60 minutes. You're going to have a whole lot of success. TJ Ward has been one of the best players in the National Football League on the defensive side of the ball on numerous midseason All-Pro teams. We're going to go inside the locker room with him when Cleveland Browns Daily returns on ESPN 850 WKNR.